You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 216 of Well Met, Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, October 15th of 2019 in here in Kansas City. I'm your host, J.R. Cook, and kind of before I introduce my other co-host here, I'm going to give a little bit of a warning. This is going to be an episode that is something that has been talked about a lot to death in the last week. It's going to be pretty political and all of that. So if you're tired of hearing about this, then you might not want to listen to this one. But we're going to,
you know what we could do? We could give a timestamp when we get away from that topic, right? We could always do that.
Yeah. Maybe. So I'll put in the show notes that, hey, it's at this point where we stop talking about the stuff. But before we get into the stuff, and not the stuff we talked about in the pre-show, guys, before we get into the stuff, I'm going to introduce coming all the way from New Hampshire. Which one am I going to start with? Because you're both from New Hampshire. Ray, how's it going, Ray?
I mean, I had a little bit of an operation last week on Tuesday. So I've been pretty down and out up until... I was started to get better kind of yesterday, and the day before I was like, okay, now I'm like starting to actually feel somewhat normal, somewhat like I can actually do stuff. Cause before I was honestly like sleeping like most of the day, like my body just kind of got beat up from it and didn't get to play as much Hearthstone. But now, like yesterday, the day before, played a bunch of Hearthstone. I played a couple of the Open Cups. Didn't do that great, but I also brought a pretty generic lineup, and I wasn't really expecting to do that well because I was still pretty tired. Like, I knew I wasn't playing up to my best, but I just wanted to get my foot back into the door, you know? I just wanted to get my feet wet again.
Yeah.
Just kind of force myself to, get a bit more familiar with the tournament meta and just kind of look over that stuff. And hopefully this weekend I'll be able to... get in a couple more Open Cups, maybe win. Who knows? But yeah, the meta and all that stuff, it's been really interesting, and I'm excited to talk about that later on.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that later for sure, because I'm curious about all of your thoughts on how the game's been going and what you see happening closer to the end of this month, especially when BlizzCon's about ready to hit. But the other co-host we have over here, also from New Hampshire, sitting in Ray's backyard or front yard, or actually like probably 20 or 30 miles away, we got Danny. How's it going, Danny?
Doing well. I don't actually live in Ray's house, surprisingly.
Oh. Yeah, he lives in my shed.
Yeah, no, I live in the molehill down the street.
you live in the hole in Ray's shed. Gotcha.
No, I actually have a sinkhole in my backyard.
Do you?
I do. You would know that that's where you live, dude. What? It's like a hobbit hole.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to tell people, man. People take my hole.
That's true. You're right. You're right.
Only I have access to the hole.
Okay. All right.
This is already going downhill.
Only real patrons know that meme.
Only patrons know where this went. Yep. No, Danny. How about you on like Hearthstone this week?
I've loved Hearthstone as a game this week because I played Standard for the first time in, I don't know, a year or so.
Yeah.
And just playing Standard and being able to, it was kind of like Wild Light to me. When I'm playing with all these cards, N'Zoth, Emperor Thoris, and Sylvanas, Flame Waker, and it's like, it felt like I could do broken things in Standard, but it was tempered to a place where it was like, my opponent, I was doing broken things. My opponents couldn't react to it. That's what it felt like, which is really cool. Whereas Wild, it's like you're doing broken things, but your opponent's not really doing that much broken stuff.
Yeah, I can see that. So you went from like 25 to 5, I think you said.
Yep, I got up to 5, and I'm teetering around in the meta, playing around, having some fun.
Nice. I haven't really, see, you guys are going to have to really talk about the meta, because I haven't played anything standard-wise, which was kind of surprising. Part of that's just due to I just didn't feel up to it at the time. Also, part of it is when I did log into Hearthstone, I immediately went towards like Tavern Brawl and wanted to get my card packs there. And then after I did that, I'm like, oh, shoot, I haven't done the single player content fully yet. So I went over there and started playing that. I still have a little bit of that to go with. So that's what I ended up doing instead, is I just I played around with the new event that they have out, getting the card packs and the golden card, and playing some single player and doing all of
that.
They
have so much in the game right now. There's like dual class arena. Yeah. There's a ton of things going on.
I did play some of that too. I did play a thing of the dual class arena as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that ended up like taking me out of playing standard. So I thought that was interesting. But beyond that, there's a lot of stuff we wanted to talk about. And if you're listening, I think this next topic is, if you don't want to hear about it, is the political topic. So watch the show notes and I'll have a timestamp on when this discussion ends and when you can begin again. But let's hop into that.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
And then as I do that, I completely forgot the one thing I did want to say is with BlizzCon coming up, Con Before the Storm, I will be at the opening panel for that. Go check out conbeforethestorm.com/world-of-podcasts.
And yeah, you can plug it again at the end for all those listeners who hopped away.
And I was just like, oh, yeah, I have that. The one thing I have on my show notes, I forgot to do. So, but anyway, so the big drama. If anybody is paying attention to Hearthstone, not even to Hearthstone, could be just paying attention to the world. There was some pretty big drama. We chose not to talk about it last week, Danny. It had just kind of happened. We didn't get the repercussions yet that Blizzard had done. We just got
we had just had the action happen, and we were like, you know, let's let this flesh out a little bit. Let's see what happens. Let's wait it out a week. And a lot of stuff happened throughout the week.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, Grandmasters in the Asia Pacific region, is his name pronounced Blitz Chung or something like that?
Yep.
Is that right? Blitz Chung.
Yep.
He's a Hong Kong player. For those that have been living under a rock, Hong Kong's been kind of in a weird spot. You know, the Chinese kind of took, or the British kind of gave the Chinese back the region in a way, back in the 90s. And then for 50 years, Hong Kong was supposed to be working as like an independent, basically, until China kind of ended up taking it over after those 50 years. But it hasn't been 50 years. And there was a big bill that Hong Kong was working on passing that basically allowed you to extradite your criminals to areas that weren't on the list as being able to do. And one of those is China. Which China has a lot of influence, of course, over Hong Kong, where Hong Kong works as a democracy. China is a communist country. It didn't play well with the citizens of Hong Kong, and they've been protesting for, I want to say, like 150 days, like half the year at this point. So that's kind of just the breakdown of, there's a lot more than that. This is a very tough subject that not even I know all of the stuff for, but anyway, the protests had gone to the streets. In fact, that bill, like, they ended up backing down, but now the protesters were wanting even more. They're like, we want full democracy. This is our list of demands. We're not going to step down until you give this this list of demands. And Blitzchung is one of those protesters and one of those people that believes in wanting, you know, wanting democracy in his country and wanting freedom and all of that. And as a former protester in one of his matches, wore a mask, a gas mask on the stream, which part of this protest, they wear masks and umbrellas. That's like the big two symbols to kind of keep their identities safe. And so he did that. And then at the end, the casters let him kind of give a small little speech at the end.
As they do at most, once you win a Grandmaster's event, right? So that's one thing we need to emphasize. This is a Grandmaster's event, and it went through, and the casters gave him the floor.
Right, but they did egg him on to say what he was going
to
say.
They set him up for it. They recognized it, and through the action, they recognized he was going to say something drastic because they went and they hid underneath the desks afterwards.
Right.
So that they, quote-unquote, weren't involved with it.
Right.
Some of my friends who can speak Chinese said that, like, the casters said something along the lines of, you can't, like... You can say it now.
Yeah.
And then they hit under.
Yeah, they egged him on. They did egg him on to say it. He was probably going to say it anyway, but they did.
Oh, yeah, he was going to. But that like implies that they kind of had an idea that he was going to do it, which is fine.
Of course they did.
Yep.
And because of that, Blizzard did impose a rule. It's kind of their catch-all rule of if you do something that we don't deem good, you're gone, basically. They banned him indefinitely, or was it just for a year?
Initial one was for a year.
Yeah, there's a year, and then they weren't going to give him any of his prize money that he had won. Forfeit all of his prize money.
For the past year, that was one of the things.
Yeah, so that was a very harsh punishment. And they also ban the casters as well.
They were also put for a year as well.
Yeah, for a year. Of course, this caused all kinds of chaos in the Blizzard community, in the world, even. Like, this was talked about by U.S. senators. This was talked about. Yeah, this was mainstream media stuff that Blizzard, at this point, had basically said, we do business in China. In fact, there's a company in China that owns 5% of our business. We're not going to put up with this kind of talk. And they were very harsh on that. And that was very disappointing. I think the first thing that I said online, right after I saw this, and keep in mind, I had seen this right after it got announced. And my reaction was, I'm not sure what to think about this. And then I got blasted for it. Like, well, how do you not know what to think about it? And I'm like, well, look,
it's a lot to process.
It's a lot to process. Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot of stuff happening there. The whole reason why I gave a breakdown of what's been happening in the world is this is bigger than just Blizzard. This is a geopolitical thing that Blizzard is kind of put into. And I'm just the dude here in the U.S.
The big thing about social media too, Twitter, you have 140 characters to it. This situation is not black and white. It's very nuanced on this. There are a lot of things that happened, and I think that that's a respectable approach to go through and say, I'm not sure how to feel about this. Let me think about it. Let me analyze my thoughts. And I mean if you feel like jumping on the bandwagon, that's good for you. You can do that. If you want to like stay a little bit reserved on that, that's good as well, but I don't feel it appropriate for people to go through and immediately just hate on people for not just joining the bandwagon straight off.
My thought process of the initial thing was basically Blizzard went too far. Like, if you take out the whole Chinese thing altogether, even they went way too far with the ban that they gave in the short amount of time that they decided to give it. Taking away someone's prize money just pissed me off. Like, that's just not cool. Yeah. Like, that, for what, for no more than what he did, you have a guy who literally cheated in your tournaments that went to your world championship and you let him do that. you didn't take away any of his prize money.
So, yeah. So for me, it was really interesting because I'm on Weibo a lot, and I actually get more traction on Weibo, which is basically Chinese Twitter, than I do on normal Twitter, because I just have a lot of friends in the Chinese community, which they are self-aware, and it's actually kind of a rock and a hard place for a lot of people.
Yeah,
because they can't do anything about their situation. If you are in China or you are you're supported by if you're a streamer or you're somebody who deals with China, that is your work, that is your career or whatever, you can't say anything, but you could, they are aware that a lot of people are aware that it is but they also can't say anything. It's such a weird thing. I'm looking at it and I'm man, the Chinese people are so nice, and they're honestly a really good community, and I love all of the majority of them, to be honest. They're so nice, but I feel bad because there's you can't really do anything in that situation where
repercussions are active too. Actors and singers have been banned from China for liking Twitter posts.
Yeah, it's so brutal. I hate it when people are just I saw some people that are just for some reason don't like the Chinese players or something, but it has nothing to do with any individual people.
Right.
It's the government, it's all about money.
Yep. It's about the government. It's about money.
About appearance, because on Chinese Twitter, on Weibo, the more high profile, the Hearthstone account for China and stuff, were this is very good. We're proud of Blizzard for taking this action, kind of thing. Whereas on our Twitter, it's how could you do this? Blizzard's failing, blah, 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 blah. Where on Chinese Twitter, you see the opposite from the big accounts. It's oh yeah, don't disrespect our country, kind of stuff. Yeah. This is not from people that are like smaller people or players or anything. This is the accounts that have to say that stuff, because if you don't, you can't not say that. Right. It's just such a weird dynamic where you just it's almost the opposite. You go on Twitter, you see this is the worst thing in the world, then you go on Weibo and you're oh wow, look at Blizzard being making the right decisions,
right?
Punish, take away everything. I'm this is it's just so weird to see.
And you kind of bring that up, Ray, and I wanted to point out that this is something that I don't think anybody's really talked about, is while this is somewhat about the money, because Blizzard obviously does a lot of business in China, they're partially owned by a Chinese company. You have to remember that it's not all about the money. Blizzard does have employees in Hong Kong. Blizzard does have employees in China, and it's also their duty to help protect those employees as well. And that's something I think gets lost, is because of the way that the Chinese government is, if you are a descendant, well, there might be some problems coming your way.
You might disappear.
Yeah, and Blizzard needs to protect those people as well. And even I think that's NA, something that gets lost. Right.
Even here, people were going crazy. They were threatening actual Blizzard employees who have absolutely nothing to do with it. Anybody that a person could actually contact is not somebody that has anything to do with these decisions.
No.
If you see somebody with Blizzard in their title on Twitter, that is not somebody who has anything to do with anything involving this decision at all.
And speaking of that, the New York City event that was supposed to happen tomorrow got canceled. It was an Overwatch
for
event.
For Overwatch? But, yep. Yeah.
And part of that was because of the death threats.
That's insane. How do people not recognize that it's not the employees at that level? It's literally only the higher ups and investors is such a broad word, but just the big money people. It is, those are the people who are making that decision. It's not the people who are working on the games. if you
I think you need to separate the physical game from the corporation behind it. I think that that's ultimately what happens. The developers, game developers, software developers, any of the, I mean, some of the community people, they're not involved with that decision making.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure none of them are, like, most likely, like, none of them had anything. Even the people who probably, quote unquote, like, make that decision publicly don't have anything to do with it. Like, they're probably told, like, this is what we have to do. We can't, like, let this slide kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't think that anybody that we could ever know, most likely, had anything to do with it. And I think it's just messed up that people are targeting, like, passionate gamers who just want to, like, make people happy by making the games.
I think we're all in agreement, though, that Blizzard went too far on the punishment, though.
Oh,
the
for sure.
Punishment.
For sure. Oh, yeah, I posted this, like, immediately, because South Park had an episode where it had China in it, where it was like the NBA was making getting made fun of for bending the knee to China, so to speak, and Matt Trey or whatever, and
Trey Parker and Matt Smith.
Trey Parker and Matt Smith like released a statement, and they were like, we love money more than freedom, blah blah blah, and I just like crossed out like Matt Trey and or whatever the names are, and I just put Blizzard apologizes to China.
Yeah.
Like, and then at the end it's like, feel free to catch our 300th episode this Wednesday at 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever. And I was like, feel free to catch Grandmasters this week.
Yeah.
My initial response was just like, and then after that I made a more serious response, where it was like, this is way too much. Like,
yeah.
You should get a slap on the wrist, maybe a fine. Like, come on, man. Like, that's just,
I agree.
Not okay.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, it's a scale too, and you look at just how drastic this is compared to other things that have happened in Hearthstone itself. It's just how drastic a year-long punishment and everything. I don't think this ever happened.
Not to that. I mean, Roger got banned for a year.
He did?
I think so, didn't he?
I thought it was only the next event.
I think, no, there are people that have been banned for, Dufino got banned for a year.
Yeah.
Nyman got banned for a year. A bunch of people have been banned for a year.
I think Nyman was the one that I was thinking of.
But they all actually cheated.
Right, right.
Like,
yeah, it wasn't
win traded or whatever.
Right. They got in trouble for win trading, cheating, things like that. Whereas Blitzchung hasn't done any of that. All he did was make a political statement on stream. I will say, though, that I agree to a certain extent with Blizzard on this, as far as not wanting people to make the tournament as a grandstanding opportunity. I say that, though, and then Blizzard goes and does things like Overwatch League, Pride Month, we're going to sell all the merchandise around Pride Month. And make all the announcers talk about it and stuff.
That's because it's safer to do here
it
in
is
the
safer
States,
to
right?
Do here.
You look at that, and it's not safe to do that in China.
That's
like,
true.
They don't cover any of that stuff there,
that's
right?
True. That's
and
true.
So all of those events happen here in the States. It's safer to do that. You're playing to a market, and I mean, the corporations on that stuff, whether they endorse it or not, they're trying to make a buck off of it. That's ultimately what they're doing.
That's really what they're doing, yeah.
They're realizing, hey, I could make money doing this. Ultimately, right, that's what they're doing with it. And you can see that. I mean, you see that a lot when corporations do Pride Month or anything. You look the day after the month's over, and all that stuff is gone.
Right, right. I will say that, obviously, they're making money off of the Pride stuff. But also, I do want to not say, oh, the only reason they're doing that is for money.
Well,
though.
No.
Because it is a very good...
I'm not saying that either. Yeah. Of course.
So I just want to make that clear so people don't think, oh, they're just doing this to make money. There are actually very good reasons why they're doing it. I think... I don't know if we would have seen the same kind of ban, though, if, let's say, someone in North America had decided to lash out against Donald Trump, for example.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we also saw something very similar to this, right? You had the TESPA team, the America... American University who went through and they put up a sign after the event, and there was no punishment for them after that. They were reprimanded to cut off the stream and all that stuff, but ultimately they did not get hit with a "you're disqualified from all the rest of your matches." And sure, I think they symbolically forfeited the rest of all of the rest of the year, because they're like, "Hey, you guys didn't reach out and punish us. This is
there was more." I have some like background information on that. Basically, for TESPA, I'm trying to think of a way to word this, but the people who would have to make the punishment, like who would have to tell the players, refused to do it, or they said that like these people were like, "If you make us punish these people for doing this, we will quit."
Yeah. So it was. Yeah, I mean that in that situation. The big thing had already happened, and Blizzard was already getting a lot of heat as it was, that it probably wouldn't have been a good choice for them to go ahead and punish that as well. At least that's how I feel about it. Now, but keep in mind, like, let's go back like 2 or 3 months and someone wanted to make a political statement against like Donald Trump or something like that. I don't think they would have gotten a year ban and all of their money taken away.
No, probably not. I think that there would have been a punishment, because like I said,
I think there would have been a punishment.
They don't want to use their interviews as a platform for anything else other than the game, which I think is a good thing. Yeah. Like, I think that is like, this is escapism for us, man. Like, we watch this and play this to get away from the world. We don't want to deal with that stuff. Obviously, there are exceptions. Like in this case with Blitzchung, like that's an exception that like I don't think he should have been punished to that extent. Yada yada yada. Like, we're all reasonable people here. But yeah, I do agree with that like it should be like 100%. It is escapism. It should remain as that. It shouldn't be political. That is too much.
I agree. And I do believe that that person would have been punished, but not to the extent that Blitzchung was. Mm-hmm. Also, the thing about Blitzchung is he was very brave to do what he did to begin with, because of what's going on over there, because his identity is known. And for him to do that, and by him doing that, I think it made it a bigger deal over here than it was. Made 100%. It more well known on what's going on over in Hong Kong. So his protest that he did, and he knew he was going to get punished for it. By Blizzard, he knew he might get punished for it even beyond that. And he did it knowing that full well. But by doing that, he made it a bigger thing. And, you know, that's very commendable, in my opinion. I don't know if in the same position, if I would have been able to do that.
I know for a fact I wouldn't have been able to do that. I wouldn't have I would not have the balls to potentially give up my career and potentially put my life in danger. There is no way I would be able to do that. That takes something else, man.
Well, if your day-to-day freedom is on the line, you don't think you would do that?
Absolutely not. I don't have the mental capacity to deal with that stress. Like, I just wouldn't be able to think about that. Like, I just can't. I don't know.
Like, I don't, like, part of me says I wouldn't be able to do it, but also part of me knows that I have a tendency to run my mouth too. So,
well, I think part of it too is that you aren't currently living under that stress. I think that's one thing that definitely happens, where if you are living in that environment day after day and you're seeing these things, I feel for a lot of people that it builds up.
Yeah.
And I mean, we are lucky enough to have the freedom to make a podcast where we can talk about this, right?
Right.
So I feel that being able to do this and have a conversation like this, if you're not able to talk about it in China, I think that's an issue in itself, where a lot of this stuff becomes pent up, and then acts like this do happen because of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the whole reason this event and the whole political situation is happening in the first place.
It's something that's also really interesting that I noticed is, like, I have never seen them talk about stuff like this on Weibo or Chinese Twitter, but I like the Blitzchung thing was actually talked about quite heavily, and like it was heavily monitored or filtered. Like, a lot of the replies after you let a thread sit for like a day were just positive. Like you would see some negative things, but that would disappear. Yeah. It is scary.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think that this did, which is actually like really good in my opinion, is because it got talked about so much and the NBA stuff got talked about so much and the Apple and Google stuff got talked about so much that I think China is like, all right, we need to maybe settle down a little bit on our heavy handiness of how these companies act, because by people seeing this happening, it's making the issue more well known and putting pressure on China.
Oh yeah, it's the Streisand effect, where the more you try to hide something, the more it comes out. Do you guys know why it has that effect? Barbra Streisand told a company not to take pictures of her house, so helicopters for the next 3 weeks were flying around her house.
Yep.
So that's ultimately just the scenario of why it happened. So if you draw attention to something and you try to hide it, people are going to try to look at it and examine it further.
Yep. Dude, that's why I put Secret Stream on all my stream titles. Secret Stream, do not watch. Secret Stream, do not watch. And then I'll just get hosted by like somebody will try to ruin it by hosting me. But it's great because that's what I secretly want.
Yeah. But anyway, so we spent, several days, almost a full week with that. And then Blizzard finally came out, took them forever, in my opinion, to come out with a statement and basically a rollback on the punishment. I did mention that the casters got banned for a year. They came back and said, okay, we're not going to take away his prize money. The ban's now going to be for 6 months and for the casters 6 months. And personally, a lot of people were upset by that response. A lot of people are still boycott Blizzard, and I understand why. Personally, for me, I think it was the right decision. I don't have any issue with the punishment that they gave at that point. I think it's unfortunate that they did the punishment before and then had to backtrack. I'm glad that they did. But it shouldn't never have been punished as harshly as it was before.
And he's not banned from Grandmasters as well. Like, he's invited back after he serves his time.
And I think the other thing that's lost in all of that is the fact that he is okay with it as well.
Yeah. He had a very measured response, and that was something that is very commendable. He went through and said, you know, I appreciate this. He worded it very well. His response was very measured, and I do think that takes a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, to do what he did takes a lot, man. He's a very smart person, I think, to be able to navigate this situation as well as he did. Honestly, as weird as this sounds, like, he probably gained so much from doing that, but also, like, he risked way more.
Yeah, he risked more than he gained.
I mean, 100%. He also didn't set out to gain the
popularity. No, I'm aware.
Popularity grab at all.
Yeah.
But no, I'm aware. But what I'm getting to is, like, I'm proud that, like, not just our Hearthstone community, the gaming community, but just, like, kind of everybody was just like, yeah, like, this dude is doing something brave and good, and, like, let's, like, support him. I don't know. It's weird to see that, like, everybody kind of came together for this. At least from, like, Twitter NA point of view. Like, everybody came together, and, like, the casters had that whole, like, stepping down thing because of it. And I don't know, it was so, like, that's so rare to me that, like, everybody just kind of comes together and just agrees wholeheartedly. Like, they're on, like, it just seemed like there was almost none of the, like, nobody was like, yeah, let's go China number one, like you see on the Weibo. It was like the opposite.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that felt good to see on some level.
Yeah.
And like, now I think the community will support Blitzchung, even because he will miss out on 6 months worth of Grandmaster pay. Like, he will get his money from what he already did, but he's gonna miss out on 6 months worth of wages, I guess. And I feel like with the notoriety he gained from this, he will be able to like keep himself going because of it, because of the community being willing to support him.
Yeah.
I wasn't taking that in a direction where like this is like a positive thing. That's not what I was trying to go for. Like I knew that, like I was like, oh no, Danny, no, that's not what I meant. Meaning,
no.
But no. So my personal thoughts on it is, Blizzard was between a rock and a hard place for the fact that one, they do business in China, and the stuff that has to happen because of that. Two, they have employees in Hong Kong and China, and the stuff that has to happen because of that, and just the different geopolitical thing that I really think that if you think that Blizzard did this because of bad intentions, I think that's the wrong mindset, in my opinion. I think Blizzard went overboard. I also think that it's just a tough situation that I don't think if you want to fix what's going on in Hong Kong and China, and that area of the world, Blizzard is not going to be the thing that does that, that fixes that. If anything that Blizzard has done to help with that is the fact that we have these kind of tournaments where China's invited, Hong Kong's invited, all places all around the world are invited to compete in these tournaments, in these competitions, to show that, hey, there is a unity like in the world as far as the people go. We have geopolitical differences, but that's not, like Ray said, the people that he talks to on the Weibo Twitter, quote unquote, are all awesome people. And it's just, we have to think about that Blizzard does a great job of connecting people. But when it comes to, they're not going to be the solvers of the geopolitical nightmare that we currently have.
I think they helped Hong Kong with this whole thing, like to some degree, because like if this didn't happen, so many people wouldn't know, like, dude, this has been going on for a long time. Like, it was actually scary because Hot Meowth or Edwin was in Hong Kong, like, because that's where his family was from. And he left like right before this stuff started. Like, he got lucky, and this was like months ago. I remember it was like it had to be like 4 months ago or something.
Well, these protests started about 150 days ago, but they've been protesting like this for years.
I just mean like the way it is now, where it's like actually dangerous. Like, it has been not in the limelight, or at least maybe I have my own little bubble, which everybody kind of has their own little echo chamber with social media, but I don't know. It feels like this kind of pierced the bubble. It became more mainstream.
This came to a global level where, I mean, friends of mine who don't play Hearthstone at all were talking to me about this. Have you seen this situation? Have you done this? And I think that the outreach that this had due to this incident really went on to a much larger scale.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm gonna pose a question here.
Okay.
And might be a little bit of a thinker, but what do you think would have happened if Blizzard gave the initial punishment as what the current punishment is? If they were to punish Blitzchung for 6 months and they were to leave his pay, what do you think would have happened?
People still would have flipped their shit.
100%. I think people would have also
just as bad. Just as bad.
I think it would have initially been as bad, but I don't know. I don't think it would. I feel like it wouldn't have been ended up being what it is now. I don't know. I feel like the whole taking away his money and stuff, like, I think that was a real selling point.
I agree. While I agree with that, I think we would be in the exact same situation that we are right now, where Blizzard would have said, hey, you're banned for 6 months, you know. Or the punishment that it is now, people would have flipped. People would be upset. Blizzard would have had to come out with a statement. Maybe in that statement, roll things back a little bit less, maybe just for some goodwill. And people still would not have been happy, because I believe the people that are mad right now are mad because they want to be mad. With that said, I guess that was the wrong thing for me to say, is I do truly believe that there's people out there that are mad for the right reasons, though. And they're just not reasons that they're just not the same reasons that I have, right? People are upset because of the situation of a North American company bowing down to China, and I get that. 100% get that. If they want to be mad about that situation and, you know, boycott Blizzard, or if they want to go to BlizzCon and wear Winnie the Pooh costumes and boycott Blizzard, that's 100% their prerogative and their right. And that's okay. Just don't, if you do that, just don't make death threats. Don't, you know, don't cause violence or do things illegal. Just go protest peacefully and get the word out for your cause. So. Yeah.
But I think that a lot of this is due to the politically charged time that we're in. We're like this is the same exact time when the South Park episode comes out, when the NBA does all this.
That was such a coincidence, man. That was such a coincidence. It all came together at once.
Yeah. If it was 6 months beforehand, there would have been a backlash 6 months ago, but I don't think it would have been as serious if the whole world wasn't already talking about it.
Yeah. I agree.
Dude, it was surreal to see the whole, like, you see like NBA and then Hearthstone, like, that's so surreal to me that this is a timeline we're living in.
Yeah, it's also Google and Apple have things there, like it is happening to a lot of companies right now. I think it's going to be a little bit less because this blew up bigger than what I think China wanted. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise a little bit because of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very tough to wrap my head around. And I think that, and because of that, you know, that's one of the reasons why my very first comment on the situation was, I don't know what to think about this. Yeah. And I'm still processing it. I've come to some better conclusions, but it's very tough.
Yeah. And I mean, it's really hard to express that in 140 characters, JR.
That's it's one hard of the things about social on media. This podcast.
Yeah, so we have a long session, hour and a half long discussion about this, and people expect you to go through and respond in 40 characters about the whole thing. I find that unrealistic, and I don't know. I feel that actually led a lot, the catalyst of this, where the people, no one wants to read on Twitter the thing where the person's wishy-washy for 140 characters, because you don't say anything with that. Yeah. It's only the people who say, this is bad. This is horrible. Like, the more drastic you are, the more attention it gets.
Yeah. And as for me, it was
make a meme.
Yeah. As for me, it was because I wanted to share the news, but I didn't want to give my opinion one way or the other yet because I just wasn't sure.
Sure.
I just thought it was really interesting to be able to see both sides of the coin and talk to the people that are on the other, like the people from China and stuff. It was a really interesting situation. I feel like I learned a lot about just the gravity of it, and it is so much more complicated than people could really just a knee-jerk reaction is just not something you can really have unless you know, unless you've been involved in it.
Yeah. I mean, I spent a good portion of this week reading up on the history between Hong Kong and China just because I wasn't 100% sure. I'm still not.
You gave a very good description in the beginning, though. You gave a very good summation of all the stuff that was going on. I was impressed about that.
Yeah. And a week ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that. It's just because I've spent a lot of time reading up on it this last week. I want to know. And by Blitzchung doing this, and by Blizzard doing what they did, it actually made me more informed on what's going on. And wondering, you know, maybe there's a way that people can help with this beyond just saying we're just gonna go boycott Blizzard. Maybe they can use that energy instead to go, what can we do to solve the root of the problem? The root of the problem is not Blizzard doing this. The root of the problem is the geopolitical nightmare that's going on. That honestly, I think it's just making yourself more informed. Helping make others more informed.
I mean, it's like voting, right? They always tell you to be an informed voter, right? It's kind of like that. Like, you should be informed before you make an actual
like a strong before you have a strong opinion on a subject, like you should actually know what is the full gravity of the situation, which I feel like 99% of people don't actually do. They just see the thing. Yep. They see everybody they else
hop on the bandwagon. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like just kind of, you know, do your research, I guess. And then like don't talk down to people who say they want to like do their research. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. No.
All right, I think I am talked out of this now.
100%. Let's get.
I want to talk about
the Hearthstone podcast.
I want to talk about Hearthstone in the game. I want to know, Ray, what's the meta like right now?
A lot of shaman. A Murloc Shaman is a thing right now. Quest Shaman with like evolved shenanigans, and then there's the what is the card called? The Thunder. Thunderman guy, a shaman. I don't know what his name
thing
is.
Thing from below?
Thunderhead. No, it's the overload guy that summons 2/1/1 rushes, and then it plays like Sea Giant and stuff like that, and it has like the evolved package. There's thing from below. There's some of the lists play that too. There's like a totem-y thing from below-y list, but that's less common than the Bloodlust, like kill him with like that kind of stuff. Honestly, shaman's so big right now. Then there's priest, there's like a control resurrect priest that plays light bomb and stuff. There's combo priest that's still very prevalent. It was actually really weird to me. Once the new stuff came out, like the first thing that won an open cup was basically just like combo priest, like quester, just like a standard lineup from before with like a couple different cards.
I mean, it makes sense that combo priest would be strong because a lot of these cards that are new are very control heavy. So combo decks are going to do very well.
Yeah.
Just generically archetype wise.
But that is, I mean, pretty much like priest and shaman. And then there's N'Zoth warrior. There's Highlander. There's like these control warriors. There's secret paladins. There's Highlander paladins. There's a lot of Holy Wrath paladins. There's Maligo. There's weird combo druids like Maligos. I've seen some Gonk druid. I've seen all just different types of shenanigans going on with Emperor Thorsan and druid. But that's kind of the meat of it. There's some rogue decks. There's a lot of random like N'Zoth Deathrattle control decks that are floating around, but those aren't really picking up a whole lot of traction besides warrior and priest.
You know what I didn't hear you talk about? I didn't hear you talk about Flame Waker.
Yeah, that is a surprise too. There really isn't much at all. Like that's just not really a thing right now. Which is
it seems like Flame Waker is a glass cannon. I don't think that it has. I mean, it's definitely strong when you can pull it off. You can do a ton of damage, but it's very one dimensional. I think that is something that the difference between wild and that is that you can push so far in that one direction, in that one dimension, that it becomes ridiculously broken. And while it's very strong and standard, I don't think it's broken. I think you whiff a lot.
Yeah, I was just wondering about that because we talked about that being like the big one that we really expected, and it just didn't happen.
I mean,
that was the first deck that I thought it was as well. That was the first deck that I played. And I mean, I was also playing it at rank 15, or it was when I started playing it. I was getting a bunch of wins because people have no idea how to play. But it got to the point where when I started playing up against some competent matches, like as soon as an opponent was able to recognize that they had to save removal for all of this stuff, and then if they were playing correctly, that Flame Waker was just not a big enough threat. Like a lot of times I found myself having to be like, okay, I'm holding a lot of the times when you're playing Flame Waker decks, you're holding until you like combo off and you win the game. And a lot of times my opponent was able to play around that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Shaman as good as people think it is, Ray?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it is, but I think there hasn't been enough exploring yet. I think there's a lot of potential that just hasn't been explored, or it has been explored and people are holding back because of Masters Tour Bucharest that is coming up this weekend. I feel like there's been a lot of practice groups really trying hard, especially since pretty much whoever does the best at this event is going to get into Grandmasters, so this is obviously huge. And everybody is just keeping their spicy decks under wrap. I think we're going to see a lot of new stuff this weekend come out from under the woodworks that people have kind of been testing internally amongst each other.
I feel like a lot of the deck lists that are being posted right now were more, I don't know if generic is the right word, but it's more like
some of the safer stuff.
Yeah, like more obvious stuff, and there are more important things. Like the end of towards the end of the season, that's when you're going to see a lot of people break out the spice, and obviously the Bucharest. Like that's the most important thing of all. So I feel like a lot of people are holding back right now, and we're going to see a lot more innovation after this weekend. Like there's a lot that this metagame is not close to being solved. I can tell you that.
Does it feel slower on getting solved than past metas?
Yes, 100%. Because people are not as willing to share, and information is becoming more valuable right now because of the way that qualifying for stuff is working. Like people, there's more value in like holding your information and holding your deck list if you legitimately think that they're very good. Because before, everybody would just be like, oh, I just want to get that Twitter clout ASAP. But now it's like, oh, wait, if this goes viral, like I could have just leaked like a potential tournament winning deck list, right?
Yeah.
So people are kind of hiding their information. You just see the metagame evolving less because everybody obviously copies the things that they see online, right?
Right.
And right now people are just posting more generic decks like shamans and priests, the more obvious stuff that you know is going to be good. Like I'm not saying those decks are bad or anything like that. Those decks are still tier one. They're still insane, right? But they're like, that's like the obviously, like that's like, you can't miss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to see a lot more innovation in the metagame. It's going to speed up the process after this weekend. But yeah, it's been slow. It's been slower than previously because people are holding back.
Yeah, I bet that it's going to explode after this weekend. I bet the meta is going to be a completely we're going to be in a completely different place after this weekend.
Because we're going to see a lot of new stuff that people are going to be playing that we don't see.
Oh, yeah, everyone's going to copy whoever wins. Whoever wins whatever janky lineup they decide to go with or sound lineup, it's going to come through.
You're all sheeple someone... and there's nobody leading the herd.
Yeah, what I think is that I kind of want to see something spicy win the whole thing. Because then everything gets shaken up. If it's all the standard stuff, all the like decks that were good from last before the expansion, and then plus Nazoth and Emperor Thorison, like I don't know. I kind of want to see change. I like the dynamic change that'll happen. That's always a fun aspect of the game, and I find that happens out a lot more in Wild, where the meta will shift from week to week and be completely different. Whereas in Standard, it's more like a slow burn, where the changes is slower over time. Yeah. And I find that things like this, where new decks get added into the meta, will really just blow things up.
Yeah. Danny, since you've been going through the grind of rank 25 to rank 5, what is your recommendation if people want to rank up right now?
Well, I think for the early ranks right now, I think that Flame Waker is strong in that essence where if people don't know what they're doing, you can just win games straight up from that. I was playing some Shaman. Shaman's very strong. Most of the time, though, I've been playing a lot of, let's say, off-meta decks just because I want to have fun. So I've been playing a lot of the Bloodthorn Mercenary deck where you go through, you make Grom, you double them up. You hit a Wind Fury off Zephyrus because you use Emperor Thoris and you can do all of this in one turn and you whack him in the face for 30 damage. So that's the fun combo that I've been playing, but I think that Druid is just generally strong. That's something that when I play up against a Druid, no matter what I've been playing, I've always been like, oh man, this is gonna be a tough one. Druid's very strong. Priest, the control priest seems very strong. I've seen a lot of that. That's something that I think that if you just wanted to jam a deck, Control Priest with like the res stuff has been something that is fairly easy to play. Combo Priest, like if you can play it and you know how to play it and like you understand the deck, that is something that can probably get you there. Like it's probably one of the most efficient decks there is, but I think that's a very skill intensive deck and I don't even have that mastered yet.
What do you think, Ray? Do you agree with what Danny said or do you have some other recommendations?
Just jam Shaman, play the hair on 4 and evolve it. You'll get there in no time.
Just
the Quest Shaman's really easy compared to the other one, though. Yep. The Bloodlust one.
Just play your best cards and win the game.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, Quest Shaman is probably the easiest, best deck to play. And if you want to climb, that's probably your best bet, especially if you don't know what you're doing with Priest, like Danny said. Or I think Nazoth control Priest is pretty simple. Play your Death Rattles, get to turn 10, play your Nazoth, clear the board when you have to. I don't know. It's pretty basic control deck.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think the Bloodlust deck and the Priest deck are actually really hard. Combo Priest. So I wouldn't recommend those if you're not familiar with, like, those kinds of decks. Because to me, the Bloodlust Shaman is almost like a combo deck. Like, you have to be very conservative with cards like Thunderhead, like, knowing when you can go in and, like, have a board where you say, you answer this or you die to Bloodlust next turn. Like, the deck just generates a boards of, like, 1/1s and stuff. If you don't find Evolve, like, you're just generating boards of just, like, tiny minions. But you have to know, like, when to do it and, like, not to just play out the Thunderhead on 3 and just hope it does, or on 4 and hope it doesn't die kind of thing. Like, I don't know, that deck, it took me a while to figure it out, honestly. Back it was played before, so this isn't like the first time that this kind of deck is in Standard right now, but before it didn't have like this hair evolve thing. But the idea of just like being patient and knowing when you have to make the board states that they have to answer kind of thing is it takes a while to navigate that situation, so I'd just stick to Quest Shaman if you aren't familiar with the archetype.
Yeah, that deck feels like a true mid-range deck, which is something that you really need to be able to figure out when you're trying to combo off. It's like a combo mid-range deck. It's kind of weird.
It is. It's really weird.
Well, if you're interested in my take on what you should play this week if you're playing the Tavern Brawl, pick Dr. Boom. And get a couple passives, abilities where all your creatures get +1/+1 a couple different times. That's pretty fun. Just put bombs in your opponent's deck. And anyway, single player content. Good times. Ray, do you have any thoughts on what we might see in the tournament?
Oh, man. Honestly, I can't think that far. Like, there's so many possibilities. Like, the Curator's not really even being played right now, man. There's so many things. There's so many Emperor Thorasan. We've probably just scratched the surface of like what that card can do. I don't know. There's just too many things, man. There's too many things to think about. We're going to see a lot of Druid combo shenanigans. We're going to see a lot of Emperor Thorasan shenanigans. Mm-hmm. I think that, I don't know, man. There's just so much. I can't even wrap my head around it. We've only scratched the surface. That's all I'm going to say.
Let me go even further into the future for you then, since you're having a hard time wrapping head around what's going to happen this weekend. Danny and I last week talked about BlizzCon predictions. Do you have any?
I think that the metagame's going to change again, though, isn't it? Like, the event will end by then?
Nope. The event will go on until the next expansion.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, in that case, not at all. Not at all. I have no idea. I'll have to think about that, and we could talk about it next week, because next week the tour will have happened.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about just the metagame. I'm talking about Blizzard everything. In general, Hearthstone.
These are questions that are just too above me for right now, man.
I'm calling it League of Explorers 2, Electric Boogaloo. Expansion coming out next week, guys.
I don't even know anymore with this wild thing, or like bringing back these cards in the Standard. Anything can happen, man. I can't even. We're in a whole new world. Just call me Aladdin. Or wait, no.
Call you Aladdin.
Yeah.
All
right. I can't think of it, man. It's too late. It's too late for your. For your crap, JR. I'm kidding. I know that's a real question. I know.
I just wanted to give you a chance to give predictions, since Danny and I gave some last week.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just messing with you. Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, because I talked about, like, I went as far as, like, talking about, like, non-Hearthstone stuff even. Like, I brought up the idea.
Overwatch 2?
No. Well, that's probably happening for sure. Not for sure, but that's probably happening. Diablo 4 is probably happening, but I brought up Blizzard might be, you know, announcing another mobile game, something a little less Diablo Immortal like. I think they'll have some kind of a mobile game, and I was hoping for a mobile game that's similar to something like Pokemon Go.
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like maybe auto chess.
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's what Danny said.
I said that. I also said new next gen Hearthstone, like next gen engine or a new format's going to come out. I'm thinking something big's going to happen.
Yeah. I really like the idea of like a Hearthstone quote unquote 2.0. Like just a new Hearthstone engine. They can add features and stuff more
tournament
easily.
Mode.
Let's not go too far, Ray.
Yeah. We're talking about realistic predictions, Ray.
You're right. All I'm saying, man, did you see what Riot announced today? Riot announced a fighting game, a card game, TFT Mobile, an anime. They announced an anime, dude. Like a legit anime. This is like they went all out for the 10th anniversary. And actually, if people are longtime listeners, they'll remember that a few years ago Riot tried to hire me for a secret project, but that is what it was. Was Runeterra. So that's pretty interesting. Their team was, I thought that they were really good at the time. I mean, anything can happen in 3 years, but I think Blizzard they have a lot more competition going into next year. So they're going to need to have some spicy stuff at BlizzCon to keep up.
Yeah, so they tried to hire you for the anime?
Oh my God. Yeah, that's what it was. They tried to hire me.
Live action part.
For the live action part, a voice actor. Not for the card game, not for Runeterra. Nope.
Card game, for the anime.
Yep. Actually for the fighting game to do like poses with those like light bulbs on you. You know what I'm talking about?
So they have a panda character in the fighting game. Is that it?
I mean, I can't tell you.
He's still under NDA.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you. Low key, Racy is gonna be the new champion in League of Legends soon. That's all I'm gonna say.
Your name's Loki?
No.
All right. It's probably time to get out of here. Oh, not that one. Oh my God.
Yeah, this whole episode was a dream, guys.
Or a nightmare, whichever one you would prefer to interpret it as.
Hit the wrong button and I couldn't stop it. That's the button that once you hit it, you just gotta let it play out.
You cannot stop it.
Yep. All right. Anyway, so let's see. I got sidetracked by hitting the wrong button. So there's a handful of things we normally end out the show with here. If you would like to email us, we didn't have any new emails this week, but we love getting emails. You can do that wellmet@blizzpro.com. In fact, email us, tell us, hey, if you like the discussion that we had about, or dislike the discussion we had about the whole Blizzard China ordeal. Do that wellmet@blizzpro.com, or you can tweet at us too at wellmetpodcast. If you'd like to help support the show, there's a couple ways to do it. One is through Patreon. You can do that at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. As little as $1 a month gets you some early access to the show. We usually post it out about a day early on Patreon, and I get you a little pre-show and post-show.
Today's pre-show was especially good.
Today's pre-show was something. we'll leave it at that. But there's other things you can get to, such as coaching, things like that. So go check that out, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Another way that you can help support us is those podcast reviews. I can do that iTunes/Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review and we'll read it on next week's show. Or any review, actually. We don't discriminate. We'll read all of the reviews. We'll just leave it at that. As a reminder, for those that came back and missed my little bit of an... I talked about last week, too. A little bit of an announcement. Con Before the Storm, which happens at BlizzCon the Thursday before. 5 p.m. Thursday at the Hilton Hotel in one of the ballrooms up there. I will be on the opening Blizzard panel. I'll be joined by another BlizzPro person, Dreadscythe. and some of the people on the panel, like Garrett from the Angry Chicken, is actually hosting the panel. So there should be a lot of Hearthstone goodness and Blizzard goodness there. And then, of course, stay after the opening panel for the Hearthstone panel, which a lot of awesome Hearthstone people who aren't me, and it will be people you'll actually want to talk to or listen to talk about Hearthstone, including good old HS Deck Tech, one of our writers over at BlizzPro, will be on that panel. So make sure to check that out as well. And there's more panels going throughout the evening, for WoW Classic and World of Warcraft, and that might be it. I don't remember. There's probably another game in there I'm not thinking about. But anyway, shout outs, and how can people get in touch with you, Danny?
All right, so this week I'd like to give a shout out to friend of the show, Cora. She started her job this week as a Blizzard developer. Pretty good week to, or it was last week that she started.
Perfect timing.
Pretty good week to get started, right?
Yeah, great week.
She started literally the first, her first, she was texting me that they do her first day, Matt. That was like when that was when shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
It was her first day. That was fantastic. I love it.
That's quite the welcome.
So funny.
Quite the welcome.
It's a good day to start work.
Yep.
I have a dark sense of humor, and to me it was hilarious.
Yeah. I wake up every morning just drinking my coffee and just waiting for death threats.
I know, same, buddy. I don't get them as often anymore, though, at least in Hearthstone. It's really sad. I miss it.
I miss those friend ads where you'd get them. now they're all, oh, hey, I know you. Now it's like...
literally saying, dude, it makes me so sad. Like, I just want somebody to threaten to burn down my house and kill my family, like, at least once a week.
Yeah. At least you get Twitter points.
Ray, how about you?
You know, shout outs to the doctors, you know, for doing their job, I guess. It was pretty poor, actually. Never mind. No, they messed up my wrist and my neck. Actually, no, I rescind that shout out. Shout outs to the listeners for being awesome and listening. And I apologize to anybody who had to listen to that pre-show. And by apologize, I mean you're welcome for the great story.
Yeah, that was a good story. Two words.
Where can people find you at, Ray?
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/pg_RayC and on Twitch at twitch.tv/RayC. Once I'm fully recovered from this whole ordeal, I will be streaming a lot more, especially leading up to the end of the season, because I do want to try to get top 16.
Yeah. As for me, I just like to give a shout out to anybody that ended up listening through this whole episode. There's a lot, especially after I feel like everybody else has talked about this issue fully in depth already. Like, I was like, man, do I really want to talk about this some more? I'm kind of tired about this whole thing, but I also feel like it was important for us to definitely talk about it and give our opinions and stuff on it. So thanks for listening to that, and you can find me on Twitter at Eldorian, where I'll give more wishy-washy responses to things going on in the world. So anyway, thanks for joining us for episode 216 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.